जय यशोदानन्दन जय व्रजजनरञ्जन जय यमुनतिरवनचारि जय कुञ्ज बिहारि जय यमुनतिरवनचारि जय कुञ्ज बिहारि हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय राधा माधव जय कुञ्ज बिहारि
ग्रन्थराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय श्री प्रभुपाद की जय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
reading from 8th canto chapter 16 text number 20 upatishta swapurusam bhagavantam janartanam sarvabhuta gugavasam vasudevam jagatkurum उपतिष्ठस्वापुरुषं भगवन्तं जनार्थनं சர்வபூத குகாவாசம் வாசுதேவம் ஜகத்குரும் உபதிஷ்ட்வாஸ புருஷம் பகவந்தம் ஜனார்தனம் சர்வபூத குகாவாசம் வாசுதேவம் ஜகத்குரும்.
உபதிஷ்டாஸ்வா, ஜஸ்ட் ட்ரை டு வர்ஷிப். புருஷம், த சுப்ரீம் பர்சன். பகவந்தம், த பர்சனாலிட்டி ஆஃப் காட். ஜனார்த்தனம், ஹூ கேன் கில் ஆல் த எனிமீஸ். சர்வபூத குகாவாசம், லிவிங் வித் இன் த கோர் ஆஃப் த ஆர்ட் ஆஃப் எவரி ஒன். வாசுதேவம், வாசுதேவா. கிருஷ்ணா, ஹூ இஸ் ஆல் பர்வேடிங் அண்ட் இஸ் த சன் ஆஃப் வசுதேவா. ஜகத்குரும், த ஸ்பிரிச்சுவல் மாஸ்டர் அண்ட் டீச்சர் ஆஃப் த வேர்ல்ட். டிரான்ஸ்லேஷன் பை இஸ் டிவைன் கிரேஸ் ஸ்ரீல பிரபுபாத். மை டியர் அதிதி, engage in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the master of everything, who can subdue everyone's enemies, and who sits within everyone's heart. Only that Supreme Person, Krishna or Vasudeva, can bestow all auspicious benedictions upon everyone, for he is the spiritual master of the universe. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. With these words, Kashyapa Muni tried to pacify his wife. Aditi made her appeal to her material husband. Of course, that is nice, but actually, a material relative cannot do anything good for anyone. If anything good can be done, it is done by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. Therefore, Kashyapa Muni advised his wife, Aditi, to begin worshipping Lord Vasudeva, who is situated in everyone's heart. He is the friend of everyone and is known as Janardana because he can kill all enemies. There are three modes of material nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. And above material nature, transcendental to material nature, is another existence, which is called Suddha Sattva. In the material world, the mode of goodness is considered the best. But because of material contamination, even the mode of goodness is sometimes overpowered by the modes of passion and ignorance. But when one transcends the competition between these modes and engages himself in devotional service, he rises above the three modes of material nature. In that transcendental position, one is situated in pure consciousness. Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Sabditam. Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, 3rd Chapter, 23rd Verse. Above material nature is the position called Vasudeva, or freedom from the material contamination. Only in that position can one perceive Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. Thus, the Vasudeva condition fulfills a spiritual necessity. Vasudeva Sarvam Iti Sa Mahatma Sudurlapa. When one realizes Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he becomes most exalted. Paramatma or Vasudeva is situated in everyone's heart. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam datami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. To those who are constantly devoted and who worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter, 10th verse. Ishwara sarvabhutanam rideshu arjuna tishtati. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna. Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, 61st verse. Bhoktaram yagnatabasam sarvaloka mageshwaram shukurtam sarvabhutanam gyatva mam shantim ruchati. The sages, knowing me as the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attain peace from the pangs of material miseries. Bhagavad Gita, 5th chapter, 29th verse. Whenever one is perplexed, let him take shelter of the lotus feet of Vasudeva, Krishna, who will give the devotee intelligence to help him surpass all difficulties and return home back to Godhead. Kashyapa Muni advised his wife to seek shelter of the lotus feet of Vasudeva, Krishna, so that all her problems would be very easily solved. Thus, Kashyapa Muni was an ideal spiritual master. He was not so foolish that he would present himself as an exalted personality as good as God. He was actually a bona fide guru because he advised his wife to seek shelter at the lotus feet of Vasudeva. One who trains his subordinate or disciple to worship Vasudeva is truly bona fide spiritual master. The word Jagat Kurum is very important in this regard. Kashyapa Muni did not falsely declare himself to be Jagat Guru, although he actually was Jagat Guru because he advocated the cause of Vasudeva. Actually, Vasudeva is Jagat Guru, as clearly stated here, Vasudevam Jagat Kurum. One who teaches the instructions of Vasudeva, Bhagavad Gita, is as good as Vasudevam Jagat Kurum. But when one does not teach this instruction as it is, declares himself Jagat Guru, he simply cheats the public. Krishna is Jagat Guru, and one who teaches the instructions of Krishna as it is, on behalf of Krishna, may be accepted as Jagat Guru. One who manufactures his own theories cannot be accepted. He becomes Jagat Guru falsely.
ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुर्वुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकथामय्यं ततातीश्वपतान्तिकं ये कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त श्रीराधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते. तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्रीराधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुश्रुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये. वांछाकल्पतरूपस्य कृपासिन्धुप्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासदी गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंगायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारणम्।
Such a like beautiful verse. One of the difficulty in discussing a verse like this is that there are like so many different aspects which we can talk about. Probably like we can keep on talking for like many days. Probably like if I go beyond 8:15, you might not be happy. So let's address one or two important points. Actually, I was listening to two lectures on same verse by His Holiness Satswarup Das Goswami Maharaj and also His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, and each of them were the points they were discussing, they were taking a small part of this particular verse and enlarging, obviously based on, because of the limitation in terms of time, they didn't go beyond one particular point. So we will try to address two important points. First one is the supremacy of Lord Krishna. So in essence, the supremacy of the devotional service. So in here it says that only Lord Krishna can bestow all auspicious benedictions upon everyone. So we can go to different demigods and all those. We might be able to get something in return, but that is not all auspicious. It might be temporarily auspicious, because it is going to relieve us of certain material distress and things like that, but it is not ultimately going to be auspicious, because most of these benedictions, they are going to move us away from Krishna rather than bringing us closer to Krishna. So only Krishna can provide all auspiciousness. So in essence, how to then please Krishna so that he is going to benedict us with all auspiciousness? It is through performing devotional service. So from that we can understand, without going into the details, devotional service is the highest, because with devotional service we will be able to please Krishna. With any other processes we will not be able to please Krishna fully. So that is one point. And the second point is in terms of the qualification of the spiritual master. When we say spiritual master, we are not just talking about a spiritual master who is giving diksha and things like that. We are talking about ourselves. If we are going to go and preach and distribute books to others, then in essence we are serving as the spiritual master. So here we can see what is the qualification. Actually, one of the important qualification of the spiritual master is being a transparent medium. Here Mother Aditi is requesting Kashyapa Muni to reveal to her about provide guidance to her. And Kashyapa Muni, we can say, like, you know, like, I know everything, like, you know, just surrender unto me, serving the husband is the best. Like that, you know, there are like so many things you can find, like, you know, sastric evidences as well. So it is not that you need to like manufacture things. You can, based on sastra, you can put forward different like points and make his wife, like, you know, like, serve him and do certain things. But he was not interested in any of those. He is saying that, you know, like, I cannot do anything. Like, you know, like, I am powerless. Only thing which is going to help you is by surrendering, like, you know, you need to surrender to Lord Krishna, Vasudeva. So he is being a transparent medium. So that is something, like, you know, like, which we can use in our own, like, you know, like, life. Whenever, like, you know, like, we try to preach to others, if we are going to, like, you know, like, present ourselves as someone who knows everything, or, like, you know, well, like, I know what I'm talking about, Prabhu, so, like, you know, like, don't, like, you know, like, add anything, like, you know, like, if we do like that, what is going to happen is that, like, you know, like, we are in the, like, mood of being, like, you know, like, I am the doer. The main fault in that particular approach, anyways, there are so many different faults. So one of the main consequence is that we are going to, like, you know, incur some, like, you know, sinful reaction. If, let's say, like, I'm going to preach to someone, and if I'm presenting as if, like, you know, like, I am the one who wrote all these verses and, like, you know, came up with all these realizations, like, you know, like, sitting on this Vyasasana, like, you know, like, all of a sudden 100 light bulbs went, and then, oh, this is my verse, Namaruchi Uvacha, like that, you know, like, if we are going to do approach it in this particular way, then we will be partaking in different, like, you know, sinful, like, reactions. We have to undergo some sinful reaction. So it is very, very important for preachers to give credit to wherever the credit belongs. So we cannot tell that, you know, oh, because the scriptures say that, like, you know, all of you become a spiritual master, like, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially, like, you know, like, asked all of us to become spiritual master and, like, you know, teach whatever Krishna had taught. So that is, like, another point which is, like, you know, like, mentioned here in the purport, that anyone who is, like, you know, when one who does not teach this instruction as it is declares himself Jagat Guru, he simply cheats the public. So in a sense, we need to present the instructions as it is. We cannot just choose something which is going to be, like, appealing to a particular, like, group of people, or stretch the truth a bit. So we cannot do those. Like, you know, like, it has to be presented like as it is. Otherwise, it is simply cheating. And the reason why devotional service is the supreme is that devotional service is the only thing which is going to relieve us of all the sinful reactions. For those who studied Nectar of Devotion, you might recall that the main reason why people undergo suffering or, like, you know, involved in sinful activities is because of avidya or ignorance. When someone is in ignorance, then that is going to result in a state called bijam. Bijam, in essence, is sinful desire. So when we have sinful desire in the mind, what is going to happen is that sinful desire, when it is going to be strong, we are going to do some sinful, involved in a sinful activity, or like we will be doing some papam. And whenever we involve in a sinful activity, there are obviously consequences. So we are going to have, like, you know, some karma, some kind of reaction. The first reaction is called aprarapta, or unmanifest reaction. And this aprarapta karma is going to, like, in, like, for each of these
unmanifest reaction, there is also going to be some small, consequence, if you will. It is going to result in some sinful disposition, or it's called kutam. So whenever someone is having, this kutam is going to be strengthened, that kutam is going to be resulting in bijam or sinful desire. So in essence, it is like a cycle. So we have, from avidya, we have bijam or sinful desire. From sinful desire, we'll be involved in sinful activities. And when we involve in sinful activity, there is aprarabdha karma or unmanifest reaction. This unmanifest reaction is going to result in kutam or sinful disposition. The sinful disposition is going to, in essence, increase the bijam or sinful desire. So in essence, it is going to be keep on, the cycle is going to be perpetual. And it is going to have more like the snowball effect. Initially, we might have, let's say, some snow is falling from the top of the mountain. When it starts, it is going to be very, very small. As it is coming down, it is going to accumulate more and more snow. Eventually, when it is going to come down, it is going to have huge force. That is exactly what is going to happen. That's why we see many people who are, someone is inclined to steal. Initially, they might think that, it is really bad. I understand it is bad, but based on my circumstances, I don't have any other option. Let me steal. So maybe when circumstances change, I'm going to change myself. I am going to give up stealing. That is going to be the initial reaction. But once someone is going to start stealing and stealing, all these are going to happen. We are going to have the bijam, kutam and all those. So in essence, after some time, even if we want to stop, we will not be able to stop. Because the force is, it become very, very strong. And sometimes, not sometimes, eventually, this aprarabdha karma is going to become prarabdha. We are going to get some manifest reaction. So we might undergo some kind of suffering. And different yogic principles like karma yoga, jnana yoga and ashtanga yoga, and all of them are useful in relieving the sufferings. But none of them are going to be sufficient to fully uproot all the the sinful tendencies. So it is more like this, let's say I'm going to have some kind of a disease. If I go to a doctor, the doctor might prescribe some kind of medication. And that medication might relieve me of the pain. So that is good. It is not to say that taking medication to relieve the pain is not good. But it is not going to ultimately cure me of the disease. The doctor has to find what is the root cause of that particular suffering and treat the patient. Unless that is going to happen, I'm going to keep on getting the same kind of disease again and again. The simple procedure of taking medication to relieve the suffering is not going to be sufficient. Karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, all these are similar to taking the medication to relieve us of the suffering. And it is not going to uproot, remove the root cause of the reason, why we are suffering. So only method which is going to help us in uprooting the root for our suffering is bhakti. So that's why bhakti yoga is the highest. And because with bhakti, we can even attract Krishna. Only bhakti can attract Krishna. So as we can see, devotees Mother Yasoda, they are controlling Krishna, who in essence is controlling the entire universe, not just like one universe. We have like millions and billions and trillions of universes. The entire material world, the entire spiritual world, everything is controlled by Krishna. But such a powerful Lord is controlled by his own devotees. Like, you know, only recently, like, we had, like, you know, the month of, like, in, like, Damodar, where we were, like, in, like, singing Damodar Ashtaka and all those. We can see, like, in, like, how fearful, like, you know, Lord Krishna was to, like, Mother Yasoda, like, in, like, how Mother Yasoda was able to control Krishna. So, in essence, like, you know, like, only by devotion, we can control the Lord. Anyways, that is not the motivation for us to like become devotees. One day I am going to be able to control Krishna, so let me like practice devotional service. That is not the point. So the main thing is that, like, you know, devotional service is so powerful that it can even, like, you know, the devotees can even control the most powerful in the entire, like, you know, like creation. Like, you know, Lord Krishna is the supremely powerful person, but a devotee can even control Lord Krishna. So when we think of, like, you know, like devotional service like this, this is the, like, you know, like highest. Then one might ask, like, how can we get, like, you know, devotional service? Because it is the best thing anyone can get. There is anything which is like much more superior than devotional service. Then like how can we get that? Is there any qualification we have to get this? In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is mentioned that there is like only one qualification to get devotional, like in like service. That qualification is to have, like, you know, like even a smallest desire to understand Krishna and approach Krishna. How we can get that? By the mercy of the devotees. So in essence, like, you know, the qualification to get and to get involved in devotional service is the mercy of the devotees. So that's why, like, you know, like if we think back about different stages of devotional service, the first one is the faith, right? We have Shraddha. So the initial faith, some kind of theoretical faith. So maybe, like, I don't know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because, like, you know, in different scriptures it is mentioned that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but, like, you know, my parents told something totally different. Lord Shiva is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or like Goddess Durga is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or something like that. So if we put some initial faith, I don't know whether it is fully true, but because scriptures are saying it makes some kind of sense, let me put some faith. So like we have, like, an initial faith or like Shraddha, and when we have that Shraddha, we are going to involve in Sadhu Sangha. We have to be associating with the sadhus. And when we say like associating with sadhus, it doesn't necessarily mean physical association. Obviously, physical association is very powerful, but it also means, like, you know, like as we are doing right now, we are reading Srila Prabhupada's, like, you know, purports. So we are associating with Srila Prabhupada, because we are associating with his vani, like his words. So like that, like, you know, there are different kinds of, when we say like associating with sadhus, it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to be associating in person. So the if we look at like various scriptures, like Nectar of Instruction and Nectar of Devotion and all these scriptures, and even, like, you know, in Srimad Bhagavatam, like over and over, one point is keep on mentioned, that is like Sadhu Sangha. So we need to, somehow or other, we need to associate with the sadhus. So somehow or other we have to associate with sadhus. Why? Because by associating with sadhus, we will get the taste for hearing about Krishna, taste for the devotional service. That is the qualification. That is the only qualification which is needed for us to practice devotional service and progress in the devotional service. So that's why, it is that this particular point is keep on repeated again and again. Just to give you an example about the importance of Sadhu Sangha, in Upadeshamrita, which is a very small book with just 11 verses. And Upadeshamrita is the essence of all the Vedic scriptures, all the Vedic teachings. And Srila Rupa Goswami, when he wrote Upadeshamrita, he just presented the entire conclusion of all the Vedic scriptures in 11 verses. And out of those 11 verses, if you look at how many of those verses are actually dealing with Sadhu Sangha, we'll be really amazed. Out of those 11 verses, 3 verses are mainly talking about Sadhu Sangha. Not only that, there are also other 2 verses where Srila Rupa Goswami talks about Sadhu Sangha. So I did some math. Actually, the 32% of entire Upadeshamrita is talking about association with devotees. How to associate with different grades of devotees, how to associate with pure devotees. When we associate with devotees, what kind of loving exchanges we are going to have. Like that, he spent so much of time, 32% of entire Upadeshamrita is talking about associating with devotees. So that in essence should tell us what is the most important principle in devotional life or devotional service. It is association with devotees, because only by the mercy of the devotees we will be able to practice the devotional service and we will be able to progress in our own devotional service. And there are so many other points, but the main thing is that only when we are going to practice devotional service, we will become naturally happy. And all the living entities, they are after seeking some happiness. If we are going to seek that happiness from material things, these are going to be very temporary. Not only that, we are going to incur some reactions. So eventually we have to suffer. Whatever happiness we experience or seemingly what we consider as happiness is going to end up in some kind of, it is going to result in some kind of suffering eventually. Only when we are going to engage in devotional service, we are going to get the real happiness. And when we say happiness, it is not that to get happiness, we need to become pure devotees. Only when we become pure devotees, we are going to get happiness. It is not like that. Even at the beginning stages, we can experience that happiness. In Nectar of Devotion, there are different levels of happiness which is mentioned. Actually, the pure devotional service, it has 6 different qualities, if you will, or characteristics, if you will. And out of those 6 characteristics, 3 of them relate to happiness. And each of these happiness, as we go further and further, the happiness is going to be keep on increasing. Even at the initial stages of sadhana vaidhi bhakti, we can experience the happiness in terms of subhada. Subhada means all auspiciousness. So in here, the verse, it says, only the Supreme Person, Krishna or Vasudeva, can bestow all auspicious benedictions upon everyone. So only Krishna can provide all auspiciousness. So that all, like that all auspiciousness is going to be experienced even at the initial stages of the devotional service. And when we proceed further in our own devotional service, that is going to be like increased amount of like happiness. We will not go into all those details, and because I'm running out of time, maybe I will stop here. This particular verse is very broad, so we can keep on talking about the verse for many classes and years, and so I will just stop here with just two points. The first point is that only Krishna can provide all auspiciousness, and the way to get Krishna's mercy is by practicing devotional service. And in essence, devotional service is the highest, and only qualification we have to practice or to engage in devotional service is attracting the mercy of the devotees. So somehow or other we have to do something or other to make sure that we are going to associate with the devotees so that we can attract that mercy. And second point is whenever we are for the spiritual master or anyone who is going to preach, we need to always make sure that we are going to be a transparent via medium. We cannot present things tweak things in such a way that to make something very appealing to the other party, we cannot just present bits and pieces of the truth. We have to present things as it is. Obviously, we also need to consider whether something is going to help the other person or not. If someone is not going to be ready to hear a particular message, we shouldn't be presenting it to them. Because we are hearing that we should be transparent via medium, it doesn't mean that we go and keep on downloading all the information on someone. We need to understand whether someone is able to receive the information. So that kind of due diligence we have to do. But when we understand someone is ready to receive a particular understanding, we shouldn't filter it based on our own limitation or whatever we think is the limitation of the other party. So that is the second point. So I will stop here and see whether there are any discussions. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Thank you for your class. And thank you. Wonderful Prabhu. Class again. So I'm waiting for you to have a bad class, but that's not. No, I'm just kidding. You were mentioning that we're the mediums that Krishna's, this verse says that we're the Krishna's the Jagadguru, and we're mediums. And that reminds me, I think Ramananda Roy gave an analogy. He said, I'm an instrument, a stringed instrument, and Krishna's the player. Mm-hmm. And that kind of reminds me, basically, in a concert, there are many instruments in a concert performance, and some instruments are externally more, people get more popularity for playing a particular instrument. But nevertheless, we hear in the pastimes of Krishna that that everyone's an instrument. And at the same time, some instruments don't seem as externally popular as others, just like in the pastime of Haridasa Thakur. It's described that after 3 days, the prostitute became a pure devotee. 3 days, that's all it took. And naturally, it says that other exalted Vaishnavas came to see her. Now, naturally, if she gave a Bhagavatam class, I've been purified after 3 days, even though I slept with so many men, I'm a pure devotee. Naturally, it's like, we're not going to appreciate that medium, that instrument. Or just like Vishwasura, he was also another instrument, but he was a demon, and we're not going to appreciate that instrument. So essentially, that it appears that's what maybe causes a lot of friction in Krishna consciousness, that people can't appreciate all the instruments naturally. And one thing, aspect of Krishna consciousness that one clever aspect I like to keep in mind is that we have the four regular principles. One particular aspect I'll focus on is no gambling and no intoxication. But we could see that, generally speaking, we gamble with people's Christian consciousness. Somebody could be a pure devotee and somebody cannot. And I remember one class you said it's better to be safe than sorry. So 50%. So if we take that risk, then naturally we'll get sinful reaction, as you was mentioning. And also, it's not only intoxication, it doesn't mean alcohol, but also being intoxicated or pride. So we can see that in the scriptures that even worse than being intoxicated by alcohol or gambling with money is gambling with people's Christian consciousness or being intoxicated by pride. Bhakti swabhavagya dosha shamakari, Krishna swabhava bhakti ninda saite pade. This verse says that devotees are naturally very merciful. They excuse any offenses, but Krishna does not tolerate, you know, anyone who offends his devotees. And so this verse is actually from the pastime Haridasa Thakura in Anchalila, chapter 3, verse 213. And basically that pastime was where I think it was Gopala Chakravarti offended Haridasa Thakura. He made some disrespectful remark, and the Lord gave him leprosy. So my question essentially is that I really don't have a question, but I appreciate your point when you gave a class a few weeks ago. You made the point that it's better to be safe than sorry. For me, I would prefer to be safe than sorry. Mm. And everyone has that choice to make, whether you want to be safe or sorry. So everyone's ultimately their own guru. You make your own decision. People could guide you in so many ways. But in the end, you're your own guru. You make your own decision. So, I mean, for me, so maybe you could expand on some of these points. It's not really a question, but it's some points I appreciate it. Maybe you could expand on.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhu. Yeah, so when we think about like devotional service, here we saw that like only way someone can be attracted to devotional service or to get the preliminary qualification to perform devotional service is attracting the mercy of the devotees. I think we did discuss about this in some other class, where we saw that even Krishna, he cannot give devotion to anyone, because he is supposed to be not partial with anyone. And if he is going to award someone with devotion, with which the devotee can even control Krishna, that means Krishna is being partial to that particular person. So Krishna doesn't give devotion to anyone. So only the devotees of Krishna, they can give devotion. So in essence, we can see what kind of exalted position the devotees are in. It doesn't really matter whether someone is a very neophyte devotee or someone is a pure devotee. A devotee is a devotee. So that's why it is the thing is that I don't remember, it is in Nectar of Devotion or Nectar of Instruction, Srila Prabhupada makes a point that pure devotional service is so pure and powerful that once someone has begun practicing devotional service, it is going to bring them to success. Even if, let's say, I want to, I'm practicing devotional service, and after some time I'm I don't know whether it is really working or not working, so let me not practice. I might go away for a short period of time, but because of the power of devotional service, I'll be again dragged into practicing devotional service. It is again same kind of thing as what we discussed, the snowballing effect. The more and more we practice, the power of power is going, or the momentum is going to be very large. So even when we try to stop, that momentum is going to push us forward. So in essence, we are going to be ultimately reaching to the success. So from that particular perspective, so it doesn't matter whether someone is a neophyte devotee or a Kanishtha Adhikari or a Madhyama Adhikari or a Uttama Adhikari, everyone is in that path. So eventually they are going to reach the stage of becoming a pure devotional service. For someone,
they might be already a pure devotee. For someone else, it might take until the end of this lifetime to become a pure devotee. For someone else, it might take 100 lifetimes. For someone else, it might take like millions of lifetimes. That is fine. Only thing which is separating them from becoming a pure devotee is the time. But when we look at the eternity, even if it is going to take 10 trillion lifetimes, it is nothing, right? In terms of eternity, when we compare it to infinity, to 10 trillion, it is very insignificant. So eventually, everyone is going to become, because we are, if as long as we are going to stay the course, we are going to be successful, as promised in the scriptures. But that doesn't mean that we cannot differentiate between devotees. Because we are saying that, in some sense we are saying that all the devotees are the same. Neophyte devotee and a pure devotee, they are the same, because eventually they are going to reach the goal. That is not the case. We need to be able to differentiate devotees. Because if we are not strong enough, we are going to if our faith is not very strong, and if we are going to associate with someone whose faith is very weak, then our faith is going to be weakened as well. So that's why it is important for us to differentiate between devotees. So in essence, we need to differentiate between devotees, but we cannot discriminate. We cannot tell, Prabhu, you are a neophyte, ha ha ha, I've been chanting for the last, some 20 years or whatever it is, I am a much better devotee than you. We might say, this brahmachari is so new, but I have been a brahmachari, in one of Krishnasmaran Prabhu's lecture, he was, in a funny way, he was telling how devotees, they get into this particular mood, I am better than you kind of mood. That, I have been a brahmachari for, I have been a better brahmachari than you for longer period of time, or someone might say that, I woke up at 4 o'clock to attend the Mangalarti, you woke up only at 4:03, I am better than you. It is not to put down devotees. We cannot discriminate, because they are in a particular platform. It doesn't mean that we are going to do something against them or whatever it is. But it is very important for us to differentiate, so that we can guard ourselves against getting distracted. Otherwise, it is going to be we can take it one way or to this extreme or other extreme. We can say one extreme is that we might say that I'm the pure devotee, no one else exists in the world. That is the mentality of Kanishta Adhikari, the neophyte devotee. They will see only Krishna and themselves, and anyone who is going to come between them and Krishna, they are going to eat you or do whatever they have to do. They don't see other devotees. So we need to make sure that we are going to be differentiating between devotees, but not discriminating against devotees based on wherever they are in. Because we don't even know where they are in. If you read scriptures, we can see different examples where there are so many exalted devotees. No one knew that they were exalted devotees. And if we are going to come across such an exalted devotee, and then because they are behaving as if a neophyte, and if we commit offenses against them, our devotional service is going to be finished. So that's why it is very important to make sure that we don't commit any offenses. At the same time, at our stage, we need to make sure that we are taking some precautions, so that we will be protecting our own like, you know, like devotional like creeper, because it is like very small and it is going to be like affected by so many external things. That's why we need to put a fence. So thank you, Baba. Yes, Baba.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you.
Just I was just thinking about it. The Prabhupada mentioned in the purport that Aditi approached her husband Kasyapa Muni as her material husband, which is very interesting. And just put it into perspective, the whole pastime. Kasyapa Muni was a very powerful sage, and these powerful sages have the capacity of manipulating material energy, just like, say, Sukracharya. Sukracharya took the demons and was able to fulfill the desires of Bali Maharaj to conquer Indra. So he created, you know, this whole jagya to provide Bali Maharaj with the capacity to fulfill, you know, his desire, his material desire. So Aditi is approaching, you know, this great sage, her husband, Kasyapa Muni. Now, just like Sukracharya fulfilled, you know, the desires of the demons, then you can also do something to counteract that, you know, solve the material problem. And in one sense, Indra did the same with Brihaspati. You know, Bali Maharaj is out there, he looks really powerful. You know, what should we do? And in both cases, Brihaspati and Kasyapa Muni didn't necessarily got into the, okay, now we're going to do a counter arrangement. You know, we do this sacrifice to create this bigger, you know, chariot and a bigger armor and a bigger bow and a quiver, you know, with more arrows and things like that. So rather they say, take shelter of Vishnu. Both of them, Brihaspati said, hide yourself, Lord Vishnu is the only one who can resolve this, he will resolve it. Kasyapa Muni says, just see how material energy just confuses everybody. Just worship Krishna, you know, and everything will be taken care. So, although they have the capacity to counteract materially, they're not interested in that because they see, just like Kasyapa Muni said, is, you know, you see how the material energy works. We think we're going to do, we think we're going to solve. We try to create a material solution for another material problem, and it's just an ever-increasing entanglement on the whole cycle of actions and reactions. So rather they go into transcendence. So this is the difference of a devotee, mm-hmm. and someone who is not, you know, in that level of devotion or that level of understanding, at least in this pastime where Sukracharya is showing, and in comparison to Kasyapa Muni and Brihaspati. Just a thought.
Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhu. Yeah, that is an important point. Like another thing which we can like understand from, like, you know, to just like add one more point to your point, is that a bona fide spiritual master will give instructions, like based on the like propensity and the circumstances. As we can see from Srimad Bhagavatam, how expert Narada Muni is. He doesn't he gives different kinds of instructions to different people, but ultimately everyone is they are guided to take up to devotional service. Sometimes he will directly tell everything else is nonsense, just surrender to Krishna. And other times he is going to do that indirectly. So depending upon his understanding of how well the recipient is going to receive that message. Though saying that surrender unto Krishna, that is the ultimate, so that is an absolute instruction. But if we are going to give that instruction to someone who is not going to be ready to follow that instruction is not going to have the full effect. So an experienced preacher is going to understand what kind of capacity this particular person has and understand the external circumstances in which a particular instruction is going to be given, to see whether this thing had moved their heart in a particular way so that they are now able to receive this particular instruction. Earlier when we talked about preaching, one of the important qualification of the preacher is to really understand about their audience, understand their circumstances, to make sure that they will be able to follow whatever instruction is going to be given. So that is another thing which we can see in these pastimes, how these exalted devotees, they are very thoughtful. They are so thoughtful. They give an instruction, a right instruction at the right moment, so that the person who is going to receive the instruction will be able to follow it to whatever extent they can. So, thank you for your point, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. You were mentioning discriminating and differentiating between devotees. And I appreciate that point, because I think that's natural. That's a law of material nature. You're not going to associate with people who bring down your consciousness. So that's for everyone. Not that I want to disrespect you or anything, so that's natural for everyone. But can you explain a point of that, just in general, that it's practically impossible to change your circumstance? Just like, for example, in Prabhupada's day, every devotee basically dealt with the same persons, places, things and circumstances, yet some devotees remained in Krishna consciousness and some not. So my question is kind of related to the point that even though we may disassociate ourselves with devotees that are not inspiring naturally, but it's much harder to disassociate and differentiate between Maya, because she's in our mind. You can't run from Maya. So one quote I basically heard, it says that you can change your hair, your clothing, your residence, your spouse, but if you don't change your mind, the same experience will perpetuate itself over and over again, because everything outwardly changed, but nothing inwardly changed. And so that's why we keep taking birth. We're trying to change every circumstances, but there's no circumstances. So how important is it to basically not blame others for our fallen Christian kind? It's because of you, because I'm not advancing. Your association is not inspiring. Then you find somebody else that does the same thing. So many people. So at some point, it seems like we should tolerate whatever circumstances and be grateful for whatever circumstances Krishna give us. So maybe you could expand on some of these points, because you were mentioning last week that basically we like people who tell us everything nice and good, but that's not going to be nourishing for our Krishna kind. Everyone who just praises our glories all the time. So maybe.
Thank you, Prabhu. So, in a couple of different points, maybe we will spend time on maybe one. It is really important for us to have proper scriptural knowledge and understanding. Then we will as Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained, so any kind of fault we are going to see in others, our own heart is actually honeycombed with the same fault. So ultimately, if we look at it, we are responsible for our own suffering or our own progress and not making that progress. We cannot blame anyone else, because everything is based on our own desire. So we might blame a particular circumstance, but we need to understand why that particular circumstance existed in the first place. It is because of our own desire. Let's say if I have the desire to earn lot of money, because my desire to earn lot of money is very strong, then I am going to be put in a situation where I get so much money. And what is the side effect? One can become easily be puffed up and all those. Now I cannot tell, it is because I have a very good job and they are paying me so much money, that is the reason why I am not progressing in devotional service. Because of this, I am becoming pride. So even when the circumstances are different, if our consciousness is going to be right, we will become humble. If you read in the scriptures, there are different personalities who are so powerful, so wealthy, but yet so humble. So the main thing which is going to differentiate between someone who is devotional services not steady, when someone is in the unsteady devotional service, the main reason for that is the external circumstances are going to sway the practices. So when our devotional service is going to become steady, it doesn't matter what is happening externally, our devotional service is not going to be changed. One day it might be snowing very hard, still we might be coming for Mangalarti. So we will not say that, it is snowing and I have to clean the car or that and this. We will be planning accordingly, and then we will come for Mangalarti. So in essence, everything boils down to our own desires. If those are strong to please Guru and Krishna, then we will not be blaming anyone else. Anyways, I'm just kind of scratching the surface. It has so many different aspects to it. In the interest of time, I will just stop. Yeah, thank you, Prabhu. Anything else? Would you like to add anything, Jitendra Prabhu? Oh. Thank you so much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.